2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We've been in now for 11 weeks in an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. And we've been looking at the example church here in this passage of Scripture. We've come verse by verse all the way through chapter number 1, and we find ourselves here in verse number 10 tonight. Not going to do a review. We're just going to keep moving right forward. And the example church and looking at this in-depth study. Let's look here, chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 10. The Bible says this: "Ye are witnesses, God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." There's a semicolon there in the Word of God, which means the thought or the verse continues on. We'll get to that portion here in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as Pastor Chris just prayed, we do give you all the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here at Cross Point Baptist Church in this area, and it's a needy area. Father, there's houses being built everywhere, and people are coming in. Lord, there's a lot of people from foreign countries that are moving in our backyards. And Lord, they need the gospel. They need to be saved. They need Jesus. And that's our responsibility. And I love, God, that you've brought it to us right here in Indianapolis. Help us to do our part. Father, thank you for the families that joined tonight, the Baldwins and the Unruhs. Thank you, Father. It was just last month that Brother Schellenberg walked us through. We were behind on our budget, and it was a down month. And I really encouraged our deacons to go to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, you blessed. And God, we're where we want to be. But Lord, that's not us. That's you. We give you all the honor and the glory. God, it's yours. You are the King of Kings. It's yours. We give it to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, as we come to this passage of Scripture now tonight, may our minds be in tune. May our eyes be open. And I ask, Father, that you would just work in a special way. Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been looking at the example church, we've been looking at the subject here in chapter number 2 of strong ministers. We've been looking at strong ministers. The strong ministers, over the last 2 weeks, we've seen number 1, his message. Then we saw number 2, his motive. And then we begin to dig in just a little bit last week into his method. His method. Look with me once again here at verse number 10. The Bible says this: "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved," look at the wording here, "ourselves among you that believe." There's three words here that are really used. First of all, Paul says that he lived a holy life before God, a life that was separated from the world, and it was set apart unto God. Throughout this passage of Scripture, we have already seen in this example church these people that no doubt have being commended for the life that they are living. They are set apart. They are different. They are witnessing. They are really in this in Thessalonica, this town that's starting to explode a little bit with the gospel. He's commending them on the life that they are living. And now Paul is saying, "Hey, look, even in my life, you understand that I lived a holy life. It was separate from those of the world." But he also says this, that he lived a just life before men, a life that loved and treated men just as God would. He said, look, even amongst you, as over and over we've seen, as he's saying, you and God is my witness that I lived a just life. I live a life that I treated those fairly, and I treated those in a just manner. He said also that he lived a blameless life before God and man. You see, Acts 24 and verse number 16, watch very carefully. It says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to having always a conscience, void of offense towards God and toward men." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, "Be followers of me, even so also as I am of Christ." Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless to the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17, Paul said, "Brethren, Be followers together of me, and mark them which and mark them that walk so as ye have us for an example. That means this, watch very carefully. There is a method that is taking place. There is a life that is separated. There is a life that is different. And you and I ought to be an example to the world around us. Even to the lost world in this area, our lives should splash Jesus. Remember, there's one thing that is going to change the lives of those living in Marion County and Hendricks County. There is one thing that is going to change your neighbor. There is one thing that is going to be true difference in the life of those who are raising kids, or those that are working in a public school, or those that are working with the airlines, or those that are working in this area. Comprehend, there's one thing that is going to change their life, and that is the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to be lived through the lives of you and me. They ought to, as we talked about Sunday night, they ought to desire, they ought to want, they ought to look at our lives and say, man, what is on the life of whatever she or he has? That's what I want. And the life that you and I live then opens up, watch very carefully, it opens up this opportunity to be able to share with folks the gospel, to share with them who it was in our life that changed us. Paul said this, he said, look, my life is different. My life is just, and my life is holy. My life is separate. It's apart. It's different from those around us. And we've talked many, many, many times, especially on a Wednesday night and through our whole Family Matters series. We begin to talk about, and you remember, the Word of God that gives us precepts, and it gives us the law, and it gives us a life to live by, and we have that Word of God. And then you remember very vividly how you and I take from the very Word of God, and we instill principles that's based on the Word of God. And those principles then, from there, we are setting standards in our life, in our personal life, and for our family, that's based on principles that's based on the Word of God. And you and I remember, we begin to get back to that we're not to live and judge and base everybody's spirituality based on, well, look at my standards. They're holier than everybody else. Look how high my standards are. Well, I just thank God I'm not of these other people. And all of a sudden, you and I realize that we're living the life of a Pharisee, that nothing has changed over the last 2,000 years with the phylacteries on the head and the robes and garbs of purple. No, comprehend that you and I are not living by this standard. This very standard ought to be the Word of God. And if you and I live by the Word of God, then by the time we get over here and have personal standards of separation in our life, let me just put it this way. It is going to look different from that of the world. Now, if you agree with that, say amen. Then let's put it this way. Do you comprehend that? Say amen. It's going to look different. The music's going to be different. Our entertainment's going to be different. There's going to be a difference in our attitude, as well as everything we've talked about on Sunday nights, our love and our joy and our peace and our happiness. It's not just what we're against. The lost world ought to know what you and I are for. And we are for justice. We are for holiness. We are for peace. We are for that joy that ought to be in our life. And Paul's saying here, look, what I had is not fake. I'm not just up here. And remember, as we saw in verse number 3, 4, 5, and 6, I'm not being fake with you. I'm not trying to bring you down just to, or lift you up just to be friends or to gain something from you. No, Paul's saying, I live a very real life. And if there was ever something, Mom and Dad, that our kids ought to see in our life, it is this. We are real. Our marriage is real. Our love for God is real. Our peace is real. Our joy is real. Look, when the outside world comes in and when they see and what is here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we don't want to give them something that's fake on a Sunday and then we walk out of here and the lives we live on social media the next 6 days is totally different from what they see in here. No, what happens in here ought to be lived out there 24/7, my friend. That's where the light's going to shine. We come in here and it's easy to amen, isn't it? It's easy to take a stand. It's easy. Wow, yeah. Bless God, we're going to take a stand. Boy, I'm telling you. Gather together. Amen. Arm in arm. Woo! But I'm telling you, you get out there by yourself, it's a little bit harder. But that's where it needs to be lived. I love the Baldwins. I saw you back here. I love that y'all joining the church. So excited, like super excited. Remember having the meeting out of there. And I think I even skipped in here like, wow, they're going to join. It's great. And Kaylee and Brandon Unruh, praise the Lord. Man, what a great young couple. I don't know if you've heard him sing yet or not, but I'm telling you, he's got a voice that's just beautiful. I mean, wow. A little bit jealous, you know what I mean? But nonetheless, I love these families coming in. You know, I love these young families coming in because we're going to join arm in arm with them to reach this area with the gospel. It's what it's all about. It's the method by which Paul is saying, look, I lived this different life. Look at verse number 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now stop right here for just a moment. The minister, remember, has a message, a motive, and then also this method. The minister comforts just like a father. That means this. He encourages, he consoles, he supports, he sustains, he holds up, he relieves and eases pain. All of these things, for anyone who has ever had a child before, you comprehend these things very easily. And or if you work with kids, you kind of comprehend a mother's love, as we talked about last week, that tenderness that ought to be in the life of every Christian as a mom that nurses her child, as we saw. But now Paul begins to use this illustration of a father. And the father is very similar, but it's this encouragement, this consoling, a support system, a sustainability inside the home that holds up and lifts up and relieves when needs to be, but also eases the pain. It's watch very carefully. It's Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. May this always be said in our life. That not just the pastor, but you and I, that we are encouraging and we're comforting. That you and I are there. That you and I are there to lift one another up. That's why I said this evening, look, as I look around, there's folks that Pastor Dan and I have visited our shut-ins, and I praise the Lord for live stream. They're able to watch live stream. I don't know them like some of you know them, where they were here and they were in, and they're sick, or shut-ins who can't be here. But let me just put it this way. We're just Baptists. I don't know why we do it, but we all kind of have where we like to sit. Now some of you are getting it. And I kind of memorize where you are, and I kind of, okay, you know, I know they're over here, and they sit here, and they sit here, and I kind of look around, and I do the best I can, okay? But you know the folks that are in your section that used to be there for 10 years and aren't there anymore. And we ought to be the ones that encourage, that come alongside. Hey, what's going on? Hey, where you at? Hey, what's taking place? And there's some that just, it's very legit. They just cannot be in church, whether health reasons or can't drive. And two couples that just told me on Sunday, Pastor, we love to be there. We'll watch a live stream, but as it gets darker at night, cataracts and whatnot, or I just can't drive at night. I can't see lights. And I'm never going to be the type of pastor, well, bless God, if you were really right with God, you'd be there and just run people off the road. And I totally get it, okay? If you got to watch live stream, you got to watch live stream. Now, I did talk to a doctor today. Now just listen, I talked to a doctor today, and he's been in it for a long time. He's got a son that is a brain surgeon at Duke. These people are just a very sharp family. I'm just going to put it this way, and I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, and I'm not being mean, and I'm not being nasty, and you can just, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you are waiting for the coronavirus to be over to come back to church, I'll see you in heaven. I'm just going to see you there. Okay, look, this is not a mask or mandates. Or this is not a political speech at all, but I am telling you, from those that I have talked to, this is here for a little while, and it's here to stay. And if we're just going to be, well, I'm just going to stay in fear and this, that, that's between you and God. But I'm here to tell you, if you're just going to be at home and watch for waiting for this to be over, take it from somebody who's been in the health profession for 40, almost 50 years, this is here to stay for a little while. So I, as your pastor, if you're watching live stream, are going to encourage you, come back to church. Amen. We want you here. We desire you to be here. We want to sing with you. I want to sit at the back. And we got those that they slip out during the invitation. And they got, you know, some underlying condition stuff. You think that bothers me? Not at all. Come to church. Let's worship together. Let's pray together. Let's amen the preacher together. Hey, let's soak up Jesus, amen, together. But, you know, there are those that can't be here. We just want to encourage you. We're not going to preach at you. We're not going to make you feel bad. In fact, I dare say, Pastor Foe, there's many people in your life and in my life that we've met many, many, many times that they've gone through hard times, they've gone through bad times. Let me put it this way. They've gone through sinful times in their life. A person who's going through a hard time in their life, whether it be addiction or whether it be divorce or whether it be just sin in their life or whether it be questioning the things of God, I'm going to put it this way, church, you ready for this? That is not a time to beat a person when they're low. It's a time to help them dig out of what they've dug themselves in. And it's prayer, and it's fasting, and it's getting down there, and it's weeping with them. We've got hard visits to make at times. It's not comfortable. I never want to walk in as a pastor and, oh, bless God, I'm here to tell you, you really messed up. Boy, you just, and trust me, there are none righteous, no, not one. So before we just start pointing at everybody else, let's just remember, we are sinners that are saved by the grace of God. Before we get in somebody's face, I think sometimes we got to look at the log that's sticking out of our eye before we try to pick the splinter out of somebody else's. And there are people and there are Christians. And let me just put it this way. There are teenagers in our church that are going to get away from God and they're going to get rebellious. And I've seen it over and over and over again. I'm just being very square this evening. I've seen it where people have written off marriages and people have said it's over and it's done and they'll never get back together. Boy, he or she really messed up their family, and it just took some love and tender mercy and at times praying every single day for a couple. And man, I've seen marriages restored, and I've seen teenagers that just totally got away from God and just about cursed his name and the fist in the air and the hating of parents, and it wasn't writing them off and they're done and bless God, get out of here, don't you show your face again. No, it was love and it was mercy and it was prayer and it was faith. Thing, and it was just showing the grace of God that he bestows upon our life every day. And friend, listen, those teenagers, when they get low, there's only one way to look like the prodigal son, and that is up to our Savior Jesus Christ, and it ought to be you and I that is showing forth his grace, that encouragement, that father that has. Look what this verse says, verse number 11. At the end of this verse it says, and charge every one of you as a father doth his children. You see, the pastor, the minister, charges just like a father. That means this, he testifies, he witnesses. Listen to the wording here. He protects and he warns. As a dad, one of my responsibilities of my family and our five kids is to, listen now, encourage, yes, lift up without a doubt. Be there for them, the sustainability, and bring home the, as we said, the bread and, is it bread and honey? Bring home the bacon and bread? Bring home the bacon? Is it just bacon? Just bacon. I like the Midwest. Y'all are thinking. Y'all are on diets around here. Bring home the bacon. Yeah, that's it. Bring home. I was thinking bread and veggie trays, whatever. Nonetheless, we're Baptists. We like to eat. You know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, well, I get it. We want to, we're that as a father. But you know what we also are? We are a protector of the home. We protect our family. Carrie's in the nursery this evening, but Carrie and I just yesterday and then today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, for 3 days, we've been praying specifically for our family and some personal areas and things that we want to get more serious about and with our kids and some standards and guidelines. And what are we doing? It's tonight, one of our kids, I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to embarrass them, but they started crying. We're talking about, you know, some new standards we set up. We're not going to do this. We're not going to, you know, they're all personal standards for our life. And they begin to cry. And here's what I had to tell them. Look, I'm doing this because I want to protect you. I want to protect your mind. I love you. That's what, Carrie and I, you've done it. You pray for your grandkids. You pray for your great-grandkids. Coach Hill, we do. With our kids, kind of, we're in that same area of life where we're praying, and we went through it. But for, I know we got visitors here tonight. I'm not going to re-preach this message, but the world hates our kids. Let me just say this again. The world hates that you and I have our kids on a Wednesday evening learning about Jesus. They hate that. Very soon, we used to laugh at this, but I'm telling you, it's taking place. In all honesty, the world doesn't want us making decisions for our kids. They want to take those decisions away. Again, it's not a political speech. I don't have to go into it, but Hollywood's not for our kids. Netflix and Prime and Hulu and Disney, and they're not for our kids. They hate our kids. They're trying to indoctrinate our kids. So as a father, I understand my role to come in and protect them. And Paul's saying here, there's a method for the minister like a father that is there to protect. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and feign deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I comprehend that one day I will stand before God and I'm going to give an account for Cross Point Baptist Church. And for any Pastor Fitzgerald, you understand that that is, we're not scared of that, but it is a very fearful thought that what takes place here, one day I give an account for the sheep as the under-shepherd following the great shepherd. I have the responsibility to protect the church. Well, what does it say here in this verse? Lest any man spoil you through philosophy. There's a protection of wrong philosophy. That means this. You and I have a responsibility to be grounded in the Word. And the pastor has that great responsibility to each and every week to open up the Word of God and to expound what thus saith the Lord. God forbid we ever get to a place here where the pastor just walks in and, oh, let's read a verse, Okay, everybody shut your Bibles and let's listen to Thomas Shepherd for a little while. No, friend, it's not about Thomas Shepherd. It's all about the great shepherd Jesus Christ, which gave us the canon of scripture that we can run to, and we've got to be careful. And the pastor is there to each and every week dive into the Word. Why? So that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with every vain philosophy, with every nuance that comes out. But it also says this, the tradition of men. How true is this today? We see it all the time. Traditions of men, they ruin families. It ruins churches. It hurts the cause of Christ. I see it on Twitter. I see it on podcasts. I see it even in what's supposed to be fellowships of pastors, that there are the men that they're just steeped in tradition and steeped in my way versus your way. And it's my preference versus your preference, and my circle versus your circle, and it's my music versus your music, and it's my standard, and it's my dress, and it's my tie, and it's my, and it's this this internal back and forth of my tradition. And look, as Baptists, you and I got to comprehend, we're not for that, friend. You know what we are for the very Word of God that grounds us in what we need to be grounded in. It's a grounding. But it also says, lest any man spoil you through the philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. The rudiments of the world, the principles, they're easy to fall in love with the world. But the end of this verse here in Colossians says, and not after Christ. You see, a pastor desires for people to fall in love with Jesus. My goal here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we've been here now 10 months, and coming up on this next month, we came and candidated here, and talking over and over and over with our pulpit committee that my main goal at Cross Point is to preach the Word of God, to stay true to the Word. We stay true to the Word. Do you know who we fall in love with? Jesus. We fall in love with who He is and what He did, but also what He does for you and I. Everything that we do here at Cross Point Baptist Church, listen now, it's not just to fill up a calendar with activities. But Miss Kim, Shaddy is not giving a Bible study just so we can get women together and fill up your time. Boy, some of you just, you're not very busy. So you know what? Let's get you away from your TV. We're just, no, yeah. The ultimate goal of that Bible study is to surround ourselves in the Word of God and women to come out having, look, more of a desire to love Jesus. The goal this evening, if it was just to babysit kids, I'll be honest with you, we probably wouldn't even have Wednesday night service. Nobody wants to go up there and let's just bring your kids and let's babysit them for a little while so you can be here in the auditorium for an hour. That's not our goal. You know what our goal is? Is to get our kids to fall in love with the God that you and I are in love with. That's our goal. In everything that's done and everything that's said, we are handing down to a generation past and a generation that's before us. We're laying down a foundation that, look, it is not all about you and I. It's all about our Savior. Everything we do. Crosspoint Christian Academy. I'm for Christian school. I'm for it. I love it. Now, to be honest with you, Carrie and I both grew up all 12 years homeschooled. We're pro homeschool too. We did. Now comprehend that the reason we have this school is, yes, to teach ABCs 1, 2, 3. Yes, it is to get kids out of the indoctrination of the world and teach them where our world came from and what marriage is and what the Word of God says. Now somebody help me out, amen? Now listen, we have a Christian school here. The ultimate goal of our Christian school is not just to send them through. We got some trophies in soccer, and we got some trophies in basketball and volleyball, cheerleading. Wahoo, yeah, that's great. You know, the ultimate goal is that is a ministry of Cross Point Baptist Church. And as a ministry, we want to get a hold of those young kids' hearts. Amen. Amen. I said last week, I'm sorry, I was even trying to think, Mr. Carlson, how many teenagers have been saved now over the course of the last couple weeks? We've had 12 kids get saved this semester. Amen. Amen. That's incredible. Amen? Amen? That's what it's all about. Yeah. Don't get weary in well-doing, teachers. I know you're tired. I talked to Mrs. Sharp today. I said, Mrs. Sharp, I haven't seen you here in a little while. I think she might even be helping over there tonight. I said, she's like, well, I've been here. I said, I know. I said, you tired? Yeah, tired. I look around our teachers. Man, tired. Don't get weary. You're making a difference in their life. Amen. For every nursery worker that's probably watching, can y'all hear in the nursery or is it just, yeah, you can hear, darling? That's great. Do you listen? I don't know what you said, but I am not going to ask again. For every nursery worker that's over there, you're allowing adults to be in here and to hear the Word of God. You know why we're doing that? Because we want people to fall in love with Jesus. Every person works on our spear team. Why do they do it? Keep us safe, sure. You know, make sure our car's okay, great. But you know why? Because we want the people sitting in here to fall in love with the Lord. Why do we sing hymns? Songs and spirituals. Why do we even sing? I'll tell you why. Because we're singing for Him. Amen. We're worshiping Him. Amen. It's all about Him. For every adult in here tonight, what's the ultimate goal with our kids? Why would Carrie and I take 3 days praying and fasting and coming up and reading books and laying out for our kids this brand new, here's your jail cell, welcome, you know, here it is. Why, I'm just joking, but why would we do all that? I'll tell you why. Because we want them to fall in love with God more than they fall in love with the world. Our ultimate goal here tonight, Christian, on a Wednesday night, why Wednesday night? I'll just be honest, most churches around here do not have Wednesday night services. It's kind of cool that we still do. Like, we're nostalgic now. I mean, we still, people, why we have Wednesday night? I'll tell you why. We want to fall in love with who He is. I want to ask us tonight, and I'm just going to stop here, Brother Darren. I know we've got a next screen, but it take too long to jump into it. So you can rejoice here in just a moment. But listen, I just want to ask you this question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Do you talk to Him? This Bible will tell you everything you need to know about him. Amen. He left it for us. Are we in it? The strong minister. The message is there. The motive is there. The motive is Jesus. And the method is this. Living this life is different. Sharing the gospel. Having an understanding. The protection and the love and the guidance. The encouragement. See, that's really hard to do. Not when you fall in love with him. When you meet God's son, everything changes. Everything changes. Tonight during this invitation, let's just sing one verse. And right where we're at, just tell him, Jesus, I love you. I want to talk to you more. I need to talk to you more. The protection that's there. Be careful. This Bible will protect us and it will help us.